and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I've got some interesting articles for you guys today. We're going to be patching Dad in here. He's going to be coming in live from Montana. And so got some interesting stuff. The first thing I wanted to do is just make sure you guys are praying for everybody in Louisiana right now. The level of flooding there has just been absolutely out of control, almost to the same point that we saw with Katrina. So far, they're saying that 6 people have been killed, and there's roughly about 20,000 people that have been rescued and about 10,000 people that have been displaced into shelters just from this weekend. So this is really, really significant. We're praying for everybody that we know over there and supporting anybody the way we can. But that definitely was rough. I mean, that was pretty strange considering the fact that there was no significant hurricane. There was no significant storms. They just kind of came out of nowhere, and they literally had just feet and feet of rain continuously. So it's pretty wild what's going on. But like I said, I mean, it's the best we can do is pray for everybody and support everybody the way we can. And also, I wanted to bring up Sheriff David Clark out in Milwaukee, what was going on there over the weekend. Obviously, you guys heard some about that. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail of that because that was clearly manufactured riot and mayhem. As you can see and most people know, Sheriff David Clark has been a very, very outspoken proponent of the Second Amendment, of constitutional rights, of basically, you know, the stance of the Patriot movement. He has been 100% supportive of. And he's also, too, never been a fan of the Black Lives Matter movement as far as what they stand for and what type of violence they incite. So it's something that it's interesting how vocal he's been. And then all of a sudden we have this massive, massive rioting and burning and looting in Milwaukee, where he's the sheriff of that city, of that county. And so it's pretty interesting to see that because it's not something that, you know, you can just say, oh, that was just random happenstance. The incident that happened, I mean, this kid drew down, pulled a pistol out on a cop. The cop shot him. The cop was black as well and ended up killing the kid. And these guys are out acting like something happened, just absolutely horrific, and they can't understand why it happened. Guys, I mean, that's the type of behavior that gets you shot. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a cop or if it's a citizen or if it's anybody. If you draw a firearm on somebody and they're armed, they're probably going to return fire at you. So that's just something to be aware of. It's rough, man.
Well, you're right, Austin. I'm here with you, buddy.
Hey, you back in now?
I am. I'm finally got connected. I've got a problem with the cell phone. How's my signal sound? Pretty good?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect.
Two comments real quick on the weather. You know, that's simply, you know, HARP and weather control and putting the planet in a straight jacket and it letting loose every once in a while and them trying to beta test something and it doesn't work, or they're trying to prove a point, or they're trying to destroy more crops or whatever. But this is complete and totally, again, manufactured weather. Like you said, fronts like that don't happen without hurricanes or tropical storms coming through. Complete and total nonsense. As far as Milwaukee, you're absolutely on point. That's exactly what's going on. Clark has been a virulent, you know, holder on of the Second Amendment. He just completely promotes it, and they're doing everything they can now to discredit him. And sadly, you're absolutely right. If you're going to be doing things with the cops, with guns, et cetera, you're going to get shot. I don't care what color you are. So, guys, this is more fabricated mess. So it's sad to me this is going on. And, of course, the media wants to pick it up just to discredit him. That's what's going on. But what do you think, Austin? You think it's more of a media ploy, too, more of a Soros kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. The liberal politics and the media have completely fueled the riots over there. The same thing that they tried to incite down here in Florida with the Trayvon Martin boy. The media is usually about 80% to 90% responsible for most all this stuff. Now, granted, a lot of times George Soros and the Move On, like you talked about, they get a lot of these insiders, these rioters, these people that want to basically bring in violence, and they start it. But then what happens is the media and the social media and the TV and the radio and all this stuff really, really fans the flame, especially what we see now with the social media, with Twitter and Facebook and the way people are basically to communicate and connect and respond to one another on an instant basis. It really causes a lot of anger because people are able to basically voice their opinion and people get in these massive debates and it starts all this just bitterness. and then it spreads, and then they get people that are agitators already in the crowd, and then it obviously just escalates rapidly. So it's really sad to see that happen in Milwaukee, but we've known that this happens repeatedly, and it's 100% manufactured every time.
Well, you know, it's also interesting. Something you just said is very succinct in the way it used to be. In the old days, when the media was actually independent, and you had independent radio and independent TV sets, they would report on the news from an independent standpoint, and everybody could hear the real news or have their own take on it. That's what happened in the 60s. That's why they knew they had to take better control of the media, because people were basically rioting all over the United States because of the Vietnam War, because the media, parts of the media, were actually reporting the truth, and the truth was getting out to the American population. Now with the Twitter and the emails and the Internet and all of these different search engines that we have that don't censor the news, people are learning now that a lot of the truth is out there. They just have to look for it, and when they learn it and they look for it, they find it, and they forward it to their friends. Everybody gets angry, and they say, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. How can this be happening? How did this happen to us? Why is this the United States now? Why is this okay? And all of a sudden, you start having more and more people waking up, and that's exactly what they don't want to do. But what they do is they use the social media with the Twitter feed, the Facebook, et cetera, as their own weapon to promote this type of violence through Black Lives Matter and other types of organizations, which works the same way, Austin.
No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what's going on. And now also, too, on the other news now, this is interesting. Over down in the Rio Olympics, they've had multiple robberies with the Olympic people as far as getting robbed. Now the newest one, Ryan Lochette and three other American swimmers now were robbed at gunpoint last night, early Sunday morning, by thieves posing as police officers who stopped their taxi, took their money and their belongings. This is the latest security incident to hit the Rio de Janeiro Games. One of the robbers put a gun to his forehead before taking his wallet. They were blessed, though. Nobody was injured. But this is just, remember, they talked about this. These guys warned them before they went down there. They were holding those big banners up at the airports. They said, if you come down here, you're basically on your own. Rio de Janeiro, welcome to hell. Here's the Olympics. Have at it. Your security is your own, you know, your own cost. So it's kind of sad that's what's going on down there, but this happened multiple times now down there. There's another girl as well that was involved in the outdoor swimming. She's already been hospitalized with a massive bacteria infection in her stomach from swimming in basically the sewer-infested waters. So it's kind of sad they picked this area to have the Olympics. A lot of these people, this is their life. They train literally their entire life growing up to be an Olympic athlete. It's not glamorous. It's hard work. I mean, they leave everything on the gym floor every single day, and this is what they strive for. And to go down there and have to basically compete in this environment is quite sad, actually. That's what these people are having to do now. So hopefully in the next 4 years they'll pick someplace that has a little bit better security and a little bit better respect for the people that come down there and bring this much money to a country. Because you know the Olympics brings in a ton of cash, and I mean, it's usually people are proud to bring it to their country or their state. But obviously not in Rio de Janeiro. They're just excited to rob everybody that comes down.
Well, you got to remember, when they put it in a third world country to start with, they had to know this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the seats are empty. I mean, the seats are empty. If you watch the shows, except just some of the key events, they're just empty. They can't sell the tickets because the people down there can't afford them. The tourists have stayed away in the droves because they don't want to get sick with dysentery. So, yeah, it's a big mess. Oh, by the way, it's already starting over with the Brexit. Prime Minister Theresa May, who campaigned for Britain to remain in the EU and lead the cabinet of ministers from either side of the debate, has said that she will not trigger Brexit talks this year. Unbelievable. As Britain needs time to repair. They're saying it's going to take years now before they follow the will of the people and they get out. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that, Austin, but except I kind of told you so. They don't want them out. They want them in there. They want them trapped in there for the immigration stuff. So it may be the end of Brexit. Who knows? And one more thing, this is from Russia Today. Soros has been hacked, and thousands of Open Society Foundation's files have been released online. More than 2,500 files from the raft of organizations run by billionaire George Soros have been leaked by hackers. Saturday's leak, published by DC Leaks, includes hundreds of internal documents from multiple departments of Soros' groups, predominantly the Open Society Foundation. The files were grouped into sections, such as geographical region, the World Bank, and the President's office, and cover the period from 2008 up to 2016, according to the Daily Caller. An email leaked by WikiLeaks earlier this week showed that Soros had advised Hillary Clinton during her tenure as Secretary of State
on how to handle the unrest in Albania. Okay, he's a government official. He's supposed to do that, right? Advice she has acted on. Soros Open Society Foundation provides funding to the Internal Consortium for Investigative Journalists, which came under the spotlight earlier this year after the release of the Panama Papers, which included millions of records from law firm Mossack Fonseca showing how the wealthy are using tax havens. Panama Papers leak came under the criticism from WikiLeaks, who claimed the U.S. government and Soros funded the project to attack Russia and President Vladimir Putin. So there you go. That's what's going on over there with the Soros and the gang. What do you think about that, Oz?
Yes, definitely. Well, you know all this stuff's manipulated. I mean, we've talked about it for the longest time now. I mean, that's why you can't believe anything you hear. You have to really do some research and make sure you see what's going on. This is interesting now. In Austin, they're actually starting to break ground and want to start doing this full-blown. They already have everything ready to go. This is another perfect example of the Agenda 21. It's creeping into this country very, very quickly, guys. We've talked about it before, the 2030 agenda, everything they've done with Agenda 21. It's really starting to come together now, and it's really starting to take face. And Congress Avenue in downtown Austin, the 30-story tower with 135 luxury apartments, office spaces, restaurants, and a bar will be a project now that looks like will be breaking ground the beginning of 2017. What's notable about this, there are not any spaces for any cars in the entire area. The project's called The Avenue and will not include a parking garage or a single space for auto parking. It is being billed by developers as the first truly car-free luxury development in downtown Austin, designed to encourage biking, walking, and public transportation. They go on to say here, this is the first true urban residential tower in Austin. This is built for people who work and live 24 hours a day downtown, and they basically use hail services, ride-hailing services to get their groceries. They said the carless residential concept has worked in Seattle, Portland, New York, and Denver, and they will believe it works in Austin. This is where the Agenda 21 really kicks in. The planned high-rise apartment would have apartments ranging no bigger than 420 to 970 square feet with efficient designs to allow people to live comfortably in a smaller footprint, Brad Nelson says. With their smaller size, units will have rents that are about 15% lower than the going rate downtown. This doesn't get any more based on Agenda 21 protocol. No vehicles, tiny apartments, all condensed into one area. Everybody was in walking distance of everything they need. This is the simplest and easiest, most effective way for the UN to get people in the tiniest amount of space together to control them as efficiently as possible. This is Agenda 21. This is Agenda 2030, and it's coming to a city near you. Now it's coming to Austin, Texas, and it's just absolutely egregious to me that people are allowing this to happen. They think it's a good idea, but a lot of people are really excited and they're embracing this. That just shows you how far everybody's been brainwashed. And the UN has done an incredibly good job at basically making people think this tiny life, urban environment, have absolutely no control. Think about it, guys. If you bring in a society like this, you start making this huge on a massive city scale, no vehicles. How is anybody going to be able to leave the city in the event of an emergency? How is anybody going to be able to move and go somewhere if they have to pack up and leave because civil unrest happened? They can't. They will be at the mercy of the local law enforcement and military that come in to control the situation when it happens. This is the overall goal of Agenda 21, and this is the New World Order.
No, you're absolutely right, Austin. I mean, what will happen is the yuppies, the trendies, I call them, you know, they have to go by trends. If the guys want to walk around, okay, I'm just going to be straight with you guys. You know, I don't really care what I wear. I'm just going to be kind of blunt about that. I've got nice clothes for seminars when I have to speak at large events. Like when you're speaking with the presidents and those guys back in the 90s, I got some really nice suits for that. I don't wear them very often because they're not comfortable. I don't like dressing like that. But trendies and yuppies, they always know what the latest style is. They know what the latest shoes are. They know what the latest clothes are. If the jackets are too tight to be worn comfortably, they don't care. They're going to wear those super tight jackets. They're going to push up the sleeves. They're going to turn up the collars. They're going to do whatever they trend is. That's why they're called trendies. They're the yuppies, like Austin talked about, and they're the ones, and I'm not talking about the yuppies, like my age yuppies. They're like the ones that are coming up now, the 14, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 18, 25-year-old metro fellas. And the sad part about this is all part of the demasculinizing, if that's a word, of the United States with soy, with, you know, people meeting at Starbucks who are talking about alternative lifestyles, people who are basically wearing clothes they shouldn't wear, boys who wear girls' jeans. I mean, this is really going on college campuses, if you guys aren't aware of it. And right now, a third of the people who are college and high school kids are expressing some type of gender confusion because of this massive propaganda campaign that's been going on in the United States now for the past 40 or 50 years, telling them that all these alternative lifestyles are okay. It causes a lot of problems in families, especially conservative families. You go to a lot of the churches now, a lot of the boys are extremely feminine. A lot of that's because of the soy formula they were given, which probably there's millions of kids right now on soy formula. And the sad part about all of this stuff is it's planned to do this. It's part of the depopulation agenda because gay guys, unless they're using a surrogate, they're not going to have any children. Most gay guys don't care about having kids or raising children, and they don't want to bring them into that lifestyle. In a lot of cases, they're in a selfish lifestyle in which they don't want anybody else interfering with the stuff they have. I mean, so what happens is this. The government has allowed this. It has promoted this. The UN has promoted this as a form of population control. And so it's one of those deals that's just happened to the United States, and it's happening everywhere. And these are the types of people who enjoy living in these little communes, riding their bicycles to work, taking the public transportation, because that's what they've been told to do because it's trendy.
Yep.
Because it's what they know the planet needs. Is because of what they've been programmed to believe. They're the trendy. I'm not a trendy. You know, people are always commenting with me in Austin. They're always saying, man, you guys cover stuff that nobody else talks about. And I'm like, well, yeah, nobody else wants to talk about it because it's too controversial and they want to get the blowback from it. But what we've learned a long, long time ago is if you just tell the people the truth will set everybody free. It's up to the person who's hearing the truth whether they accept the truth or not. So that's what we try to do. We just try to come to you guys, like a couple of guys who know the truth or part of the truth. None of us know the whole truth. This whole web that they've built around us is so complicated that you don't really know who the head people are because they live in the shadow like cockroaches. And so that's the whole thing, is we're trying to unravel this mystery of everything, including this holographic universe we live in, and trying to explain it to everybody in a way that kind of makes sense. Because otherwise, if you don't look at it that way, if you don't understand what Genesis chapter 6 was all about, or the book of Enoch, none of this stuff makes any sense. So, no. Anyhow, that's my little 2 cents. That's my 2 cents worth on their stupid little condos downtown with their 20 by 20 rooms. I mean, never mind, Austin, I'm done.
Okay, well, this is also interesting, too. We've seen over the last bit of the Obama administration, Michael Obama's, Michelle Obama's, protocol on getting all the children fed with this really, really garbage food in the public school system. You know, it's been all under the guise of making children healthier, but now it's come out, as we've already known and talked about before, that the United States public school food is actually some of the nastiest food on the planet out of any industrialized country in the world. They have some of the cheapest, lowest quality, poorest nutrient density meals, period. Now, according to a study published in the Journal of Health Economics, kids who live in the Northeast, the South, and rural America who consume one-third to one-half of their meals at school are substantially more susceptible to obesity. Wen Yu, Associate Professor of Agriculture and Applied Economics at the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, said that while well-intentioned, which I argue with him, it wasn't well-intentioned, this was planned, the government-funded school meal plans, which aim to make students healthier, are in fact doing the exact opposite. Now, let me stop here before I read the rest of the article. He's trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but that's completely and totally nonsense. It's not difficult to eat healthy, guys. It's not a difficult lifestyle. Once you have the knowledge base and you know what's wrong and right with eating and you know how to eat and what to correctly put in your body, this is not a difficult concept. Stating on here that the school-funded lunch meals from the government were supposed to make them healthier, except they're doing the opposite, it takes a specific either eat poorly or you eat healthy. The government knows what's healthy. They see these research. They see these tests. They see all these different clinical studies. They know what this stuff does. They know it causes cancer. They know it reduces fertility. They know it causes issues with ADD. They know all this stuff. So they're not trying to make the food healthy. They're doing the complete polar opposite of it intentionally to make the lower, basically, generation below us, this generation that's already in the common core, which is an abysmal failure. On top of that, they're getting some of the worst food on the planet. They're doing this intentionally to them. And I go on to say, this wasn't a small study. Their team surveyed 21,260 students who were followed from kindergarten to eighth grade. They found that children who did not participate in school lunch programs supported by Michelle Obama were much less likely to end up overweight. On the other hand, children who consistently participated in both breakfast and lunch school-funded, government-funded meal programs throughout their elementary and intermediate school years were much more likely to end up overweight, obese, and unhealthy. So this isn't something that's just a little, hey, we took, you know, five kids from a school and, you know, kind of randomly tested them for a week. This is something they did for years with over 20,000 students and found a direct correlation with the garbage food they're eating in the public school system. The reason why I'm telling you guys is because a lot of you already know this, but the people that don't, you no longer have the excuse now in saying you don't know what your kids are eating at school. We don't have time to feed them. They can eat their school-funded lunches. You don't have that excuse anymore, guys. I just gave you the information. I gave you the article from WenYou. His name is W-E-N, next word Y-O-U, and it was written in Health Economics, the journal that it was written in. Now you know what they're eating. Now you know how bad it is for them. Now you can make a difference and change their diet. It's as easy as that.
Well, you know, Austin, again, this plot that they have that they were bringing to fruition now has been going on now for 150, 170 years. I mean, it started all the way back in the West, actually longer than that now. It's actually almost 200 years because of the War of 1812, trying to put the Bank of America into the Rothschild cartel, into the freshly formed United States of America. They waited for most of the forefathers of the country either to be old enough not to be able to do anything any longer, or the whole political process to have changed. And then, of course, Andrew Jackson got rid of it. And then Lincoln, they want him to put it back in, and he ended up getting money martyred for that. I mean, the whole thing's been a mess. They don't plan things out for a week or two or a year or 5 years or even 20 years. They have these 100-year guidelines. You know, Albert Pike, when he wrote Morals and Dogma, he wrote one letter to this, I think it was Yosemite, and he said basically that, you know, there were going to be three world wars. This is 150 years ago. You know, they know, see, that this whole Luciferian thing, you got to remember, these guys are living really old. I did a whole show with this on Hagman the other night. I talked about how they're getting direct injections into their spinal cords now, you know, to keep old, stay old, to say, stay alive. It's what they're doing. I mean, it's ridiculous. You want to listen to that show on Thursday night, I talk about it in the first 30, 40 minutes. I won't cover it here tonight. So this is crazy what these elites are doing to not die, like the Kissingers and the Rockefellers and the Soros guys. I mean, these guys are old as dirt, and it doesn't make any difference. They keep just ticking along because they're doing all these crazy hormonal therapies, probably from aborted fetuses or from still living fetuses. So I cover all that stuff on Thursday night of last week with Doug Hagman. If you guys want to hear all that, feel free to listen to him. Here's more stuff from Germany. The German president, Joachim Gauck, says that the elites, the German elite politicians and the elites of the world, are not the problem. The people of Germany are the problem. Such an idiot. He gets booed and he gets spit on for saying that. This is from the Durand. In a recent TV interview, President Joachim Gauck said, "The elites are not the problem, the people are the problem." Germans did not take kindly to the president's statement. Official German state TV and state radio reported that a handful of right-wing extremists... Oh, that's right, we're the right... We don't want to hear this because it's a bunch of lies, and so now we're a right-wing extremist, have attacked the president and disturbed the otherwise peaceful and welcoming reception of the president. This is simply not the case, as seen in the video. The people repeatedly shouted, "Traitor, get out! We don't want Stasi pigs." Now, Stasi was the secret service of the East German government. "We are the people." One man carrying his young son on his shoulders appears to have spit on him while exclaiming insults. Other citizens were heard saying, "You killed our children, and what have you done to us?" They were blocked by police in riot gear, to whom they said, "You are protecting warmongers. Shame on you." The situation escalated, and the riot police had used pepper spray. Now, continuing with Germany, this is out of Breitbart. More than 1,000 known child marriages in Germany to Muslims since the stuff started. The girls are usually married to older men, and the trend is being linked to the new wave of migrants who entered the country over the past 18 months. The state has logged over 1,000 child marriages. Unbelievable. And it says, but the reports of this number, actually, the underreported cases dwarf this number. The officials are also contemplating a change in laws that refuse to accept an underage marriage that took place in a different country before the migrants arrived. These marriages have been recognized in Germany, although they violate our rights. Young girls as young as 11 years old have been married, and these guys are having sex with them. The phenomenon has also caused concern in the Netherlands, prompted by the discrepancy of the 9-month pregnant 14-year-old Fashama Alisam and her 24-month, 24-year-old husband. Last month, the German region of North Rhine-Westphalia, which has seen 188 marriages of migrants who are underage, calls for the government to stop it. I mean, this is crazy, Austin, and they think it's okay. They think it's okay because it's part of their culture. That's why these cultures have never been able to interact. That's why the Muslims who have come to our country have had to peacefully, you know, engage in our society, not running around raping women who don't have their heads covered, etc. But Obama, they're all trying to stop this. It's all about bringing in World War III, just like Albert Pike said in his letter. So, guys, get ready for it. If we don't get Trump in the White House, we're going to have a mess. And quite frankly, Hillary's health is so bad now with the blood clots we had, all the medicine she's on, with her alcoholism and her problems she's had with drinking and drugs, her witchcraft, all of the stuff she's been involved in. Like I mentioned last week, in German we call it a fluffes Leben, or life ill spent, an excess and debauchery. And that's what we have as a person who's running for the presidency. And basically she also has senile dementia. They say sometimes she doesn't even remember who she is or where she is. I mean, this really needs to be the president of the United States. Unbelievable. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, no, it's a joke. We've gone down that road numerous times just for the fact of what happened with the FBI. Should have been clear cut that was not even somebody that should have even been eligible to run for the presidency. This is now a new issue that's going up in Canada's New Brunswick province about the Roundup. And this isn't just with food growth now. This is interesting, is that the latest revelation is involving the decline of deer population due to the widespread spraying of glyphosate. Environmental groups are calling for a ban on the use of glyphosate for forest management purposes after it was revealed that the deer populations in that province have been reduced by half since 2007. Groups such as Greenpeace and Stop Spraying New Brunswick are also demanding a review for industry and by industry forest management strategies, which appear to be largely focused on creating more timber for pulp mills with little regard for the environment or taxpayers who are footing the bill for the spraying. They go on to say glyphosate is not the only factor involved in the decline of the deer population in New Brunswick, but it is very directly the result that we get when we use glyphosate and forestry techniques that involve clear-cutting plantations. That speaks to total destruction of our environment and our ecosystem, that all the forest species, that all of our population is reliant on subsistence. And what's going on now is apparently they go through here some of the times and they just spray all this stuff, and it makes it easier to grow and harvest the types of trees that the pulp mills want, so they can just clear-cut everything, clean it out, scrub it out, and then it's basically void, and then they can go back in if they want to regrow anything, completely strip it, and redo it over again. The problem is, as we all know, this glyphosate is incredibly toxic stuff to every living organism, and the fact that they're doing this on a widespread forestry level in Canada was something that was unknown to me until today, but that's interesting. Now they're not just using it as far as with the food and just normal weed control and crop control, they're actually doing this on a full-blown forest scale for tree harvesting and pulp production.
Are you there, Austin? I can't hear you.
Yeah, what's your next story, bud?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I lost you. The Vatican has paid close to $4 billion to settle child molestation lawsuits. I mean, this is crazy. $4 billion, that's like the amount of money we paid out for all of the problems associated with all the vaccine problems that we've had. According to Jack and Diane Rule, who have been doing this research, the Vatican has spent a disgusting $3,994,797,060.10. That's nearly $4 billion to keep things hush-hush. That number may even be a bit conservative, and we cannot know for sure the agreed-upon under-the-table amounts. The figure was based on a three-month investigation of data, which includes a review of over 7,800 articles and information from the bishopaccountability.org. Reports from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops were also used. In the early 90s, a monk who worked at the Vatican opened up to the New Yorker, admitting, "You wouldn't believe the amounts of money the church is spending to settle these priestly sexual abuse lawsuits." By 1992, U.S. Catholic Diocese had given over $400 million to settle hundreds of molestation cases. That was a shocking chunk of change then, and that figure has only risen exponentially since then. The men running the Vatican are well aware of this problem, yet they refuse to provide justice. The reason they refuse to provide justice, they are probably personally involved in that. And these guys, these gay guys, that's what you're going to call them, that's what they are. A heterosexual guy doesn't want to have sex with a young boy. I mean, you don't do that. Or the young girl, you're not a pedophile. I mean, it's just these perverts is what they are. They're running around and they're just abusing altar boys. That's primarily who this is. And the sad part about it is, and I've talked about this so many times on the show, the Vatican doesn't do anything about it because the Vatican's involved in it. The entire Vatican is corrupt. And, you know, I've gotten letters from people who are Catholics, and they fuss at me, and they go, "Well, not all Catholics are bad." I'm not saying all Catholics are bad. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm saying is, you got one of the most corrupt administrations and hierarchies on the planet. And so you guys need to get that stuff cleaned up, or you don't need to be supporting them. But remember, they're bringing in so much money from the drugs that they're laundering through the Vatican Bank, through Operation Gladio and Condor that happened years ago, and also with the money they're bringing in right now from Afghanistan, with the laundering of that money through the Vatican Bank. They don't need your money. They don't need your support. Because remember, they're the largest tax-free organization in the world, and they pretty much ran the planet for 1,000 years. So the nuttiest thing about all of this, guys, listen to me, please. You know, if I was a Catholic, which I never have been, I was a Lutheran. And the reason I left the Lutheran faith was because it wasn't meeting my needs as a Christian. You know, now we go to a Baptist church, and we've also been in full gospel churches. I mean, you've got to find something that you can grow with as a Christian and something that's going to meet you and your family's needs. But what are you going to say to your child if your child finds out that the priest in your parish were sodomizing little boys? And your child asks you, "Well, Mom and Dad, why are we going here? Why is this okay? Why are you continuing to support this organization?" Guys, ask yourself that question. It's very, very important that you do, because, gosh, remember, guys, this is all about, you know, Mary worship, which is nowhere in the Bible to be found, and what happened in the 4th century, and I think it was 323, when the Roman Catholic Church brought a bunch of these traditions into the Vatican and into the Christian Church. So, guys, do what you want to do with this. The $4 billion in settlements, and that's what we can document. We have absolutely no idea what those real numbers are, period. What's your next story, bud?
No, you're absolutely right about that. There's absolutely no telling at all. This is a little article that was a little bit older, and we touched base on it, but I wanted to kind of bring it up again because I hear a lot of people that are always using this stuff, and more studies are coming out now on how dangerous this stuff is. Another recent study shows certain medications are absolutely bad for the brain. The biggest one concerning this group is a group of medications called anticholinergics, which are under brand names of Benadryl, Demerol, and Thiamine. Benadryl is a very, very common one for a lot of people that use it for the allergies, allergy seasons. And the problem with Benadryl is what they're showing now. They did one study now that's looked at 451 individuals with an average age of 73. Those with regular medications, including one or more of these, had a higher risk of dementia and poor performance on cognitive tests. They also had smaller brain volumes compared to people who are not using these types of medicine. The result is also causing a risk of cognitive problems, including memory loss. Another concern with these medications, they also appear to slow brain glucose metabolism. Your brain uses glucose as a fuel source, and slower glucose metabolism is linked to Alzheimer's and dementia. The The change occurs in part of the brain that is used for memory, and lower metabolism in these areas can cause memory loss and dementia when you get older. So these people that are using a lot of these medicines all the time on a daily basis really need to reevaluate other options, especially for the allergies, guys, because allergies are something that are really easy to fix, especially with diet and supplementation. We have a lot of people down here that have allergies, seasonal allergies in Florida with all the oak and crazy pollen we get during the spring and summer. And one of the easiest ways to fix that is, A, you need to be cutting out all dairy out of your diet. There's no reason at all to be drinking pasteurized milk and homogenized yogurt and everything else on a regular basis at all. And on top of that, if you're having allergy issues, it will only compound and make it much, much, much worse. The other things you can add in are the GHI cleanse and the turmeric force. Those two coupled together do a really, really good job at helping reduce inflammation, because that's essentially what's going on with the allergies, is it's inflammation. And then when you add in the dairy, like I just mentioned, it massively increases inflammation in the body. So those two products, the GHI and the turmeric, are really, really good options for people that are trying to get allergies under control.
You're absolutely right, Austin. That basically it's a histamine response in the body, and it's causing the allergic reaction. So your body's just producing histamines and running eyes and running nose, and the turmeric really helps stop that. I know with your wife, she was having such bad problems with her allergies. She started hammering the turmeric, you know, a dozen, 15 of those a day, and it took care of it. She said, well, that's a lot of turmeric. Well, yeah, but it doesn't do much besides decrease inflammation and prevent cancer and help prevent diabetes, so it's a great product. I take it every day. I don't think you can overdose on it. I mean, I'm taking up to 30 a day, you know, when I've had about a lot of inflammation in my body. It does great for inflammation. It's kind of like black seed oil. It's kind of good for everything. So I take my black seed oil every day, and I take my turmeric every day, and it works great. And, oh, by the way, I had lunch with Steve Quayle on Friday up here in Bozeman, Montana, and we're up here looking at some property and visiting my daughter, who's in private school up here. So we're having a blast for this week, but we'll continue to do the shows as much as we possibly can as long as we've got cell service. That's the most important thing I can emphasize here, is we have to have cell service. So, but guys, hello from Bozeman, Montana, and right now we're in Missoula, Montana. Weather here in the morning is beautiful. In the afternoons, though, guys, it's getting up in the 90s. It's getting hot up here in the afternoons. I didn't expect it to be this warm in the afternoons in Montana, even in August, but it's right up there in the temperature. Here's another article. This is from the Free Thought Project, and it says a government task force confirms U.S. intelligence faked reports to manipulate public about ISIS. Well, I mean, we already know that, but let me tell you what they say. A scathing task force report released on Thursday shows that the intelligence generated by the U.S. Central Command was deliberately skewed. Last year, a senior analyst came forward noting that classified intelligence was being withheld. The whistleblower's complaint is what led to the initial investigation by the Defense Department Inspector General. The task force confirmed that both classified and public information was being manipulated by high-level officials. I mean, duh. According to the unclassified report, much of what was presented to the public was just a lie. While the Obama administration attempted to maim that they knew nothing about this intelligence manipulation, oh, God, whatever. They're the ones who ordered it. The CIA, well, of course, the CIA really kind of runs the government anyhow, because they're black ops. The nature of this report and the high-level officials involved imply otherwise. The cancer was within the senior level of the intelligence command. There you go, CIA, one defense official told the Daily Beast in September. There's enormous evidence about how this information from talented career professionals inside the analytic arm of GENCOM did their job and accurately depicted what was going on the ground. But when it got to the senior levels, the information was changed, promoting more propaganda to the American people and continued lies. I mean, guys, this is some crazy stuff, but this is our government at work and what they're doing to us on a regular basis. That's why you can't believe the mainstream narrative. Don't even watch it anymore. I'm just telling you guys, because it puts you into that alpha brainwave sometimes, theta brainwave state, and you start listening to them. You go, oh, that sounds right, that sounds right. Well, it's not right. And the more you put that stuff into your brain, the harder it is to reprogram yourself. When you finally step away from it and you start running down the rabbit hole with the rest of us, you're kind of like, wow, this isn't what I was told it was down here, because that's exactly what happens when you finally wake up and you realize how out of control our government is and how it's been taken over by the globalists, primarily through the central banks and through the Vatican and through the CIA and through the satanic groups that are covering the planet now and all their pedophiles. It's ridiculous. I mean, what do you think about that, Oz?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely interesting to see this happening as far as all over the place, especially what you mentioned earlier with the $4 billion in the Vatican. You know, that was just something, after you said that, you know, I kind of thought about it for a minute. And that's just crazy to me. Is, I mean, that's the documented amount that we've seen in payouts and basically to keep everybody hushed up. And it's crazy just to see what's going on and how much of a police state, too, that that entire area has turned into and how it's transforming the United States into a police state now. And what we've seen, the UK now, I mean, is going so far-fetched in the other direction. They've come out with a new online hate crime hub that is going to be up to set, basically tackle online people and identifying subjects and citizens to report on police. The project was published by the London Mayor's Office and is being partially funded by the Home Office, which will contribute £1.7 million to the project and is expected to run at least 2 years. They came up with the idea due to the increasing role that online hate is played in the targeting individuals and communities. And under the veil of anonymity on social media, online abusers are hard for conventional police forces to find. So what they're doing is they're establishing a unit, and they want to send a strong message to those online forums that spread hate that their actions will not be tolerated. And what they're going to be doing is a cyber crime unit now that will consist of trained detectives aided by volunteers who will be urged to report both criminal and non-criminal incidences under the auspice of joint partnership programs run by police and social media services. The volunteers will learn how to use online tools to respond to hate crimes they encounter on the web. This is crazy, guys. This is right here is full-blown SS Nazi Germany, except on an online level. They're going to start having a online cybercrime group now and start training individuals to basically scan the pages of social media and turn in people that they deem hate speech. The funny part about this, though, is I can almost guarantee you 99% of the time, it's always going to be people that are derived saying things like, we don't want more Muslims coming in and ruin our country. We're in fear of our life. They're taking away our social norms. They're trying to take over our country. That's what we've seen here numerous times. But when we have these massive radical Islams post all kinds of obscene comments online, it's, well, let's let it go because we need to see if it goes anywhere so we can track them down. You know, we need to make sure we can find out where this is coming from. So just let it go on. But as soon as somebody says one little thing online over in Europe, they're immediately jailed, arrested, have their doors kicked in. I can't tell you how many articles I've read now online in Germany of people that have made comments on Facebook or social media, and all of a sudden the police are at their door the next day because they want to know why they're talking about this and why they're inciting violence online for simply asking questions and saying, we don't agree with this mass invasion. This is going to be the first massive cybercrime unit pretty much in the history of the Internet that's going now to specifically target any type of speech they deem unnecessary. And they're not even being open about what they're deeming unnecessary or hate speech. It's all classified and sealed in this group. So it doesn't matter what you say, what you propose, what you even imply, they can deem it as hate speech if one of their moderators flags you, and they'll immediately be contacting you and finding out where you live. This is absolutely nuts over in the UK, and we're a very, very short period of time from having this in the United States, especially with that Cybersecurity Act that Obama passed, I think it was last year, that they're trying to get everybody to have an Internet ID number. So every time you sign into an Internet source, you have to put in your ID number. And that's where this is going, guys. That's how serious it's getting. And the UK just stepped a whole other level of police state now. I mean, what do you think about that, Deb?
A lot of this is because of Brexit. They don't want England out of the European Union. And now they want to try to find out who the groups are going to be that are trying to keep England out of the Union, out of the European Union. That's why they're not specifying what's going on. As far as more invasion on your right, I remember one time I was in the middle of nowhere in England. I mean, the middle of nowhere on some highway. And I made a U-turn, just in the middle of nowhere. I think you might have been with me, Austin. I got a ticket in the mail a month later for like £100. Making an illegal U-turn in the middle of the highway in the middle of nowhere by a camera. The camera was there. And I'm like, they got a video, you know, the picture of me turning around on the highway. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm in the middle of nowhere on this highway, and I get a ticket for making a U-turn when there's no traffic anywhere. I'm like, this is what England is. England is a police state. Remember, they don't have the rights that we have in the United States because they don't have our constitution. It's a monarchy. And it's supposedly a constitutional monarchy, but I don't believe it. I still believe that wicked witch in Buckingham Palace runs the place on her weirdo friends and their child ritual things they do in the doggone darkest of dungeons all the time. They're a bunch of sickos over there now. And, you know, but that's just the whole ruling elite's like that. They're all a bunch of nutbags. I mean, that's why they go to Bohemian Grove together and throw a big party out there, bringing their gay strippers and their gay prostitutes and their 16-year-old boys are supposedly legal for sex in that state or whatever. I mean, it's the most disgusting, nauseating group of people on the planet. The problem is, like I said earlier in the show, they're like cockroaches and they hide in the shadows. And you have no idea where they are, or who they are, and what they're doing or whatever. It's just who they are and how they act. So, sadly, how can it be better, Austin? It's going to continue to get worse until we, the people of the United States, and we, the people of the planet, say, genug, which is a German word for enough. We've had enough of this. Like the German people that were protesting their president deal, they spitting on it because of what this guy was saying is the elites are not the problem. It's the German people. They need to hire the immigrants and integrate these people more readily into the community. Why? While they're raping their daughters? Okay? While they're doing obscene things in the swimming pool? Okay? When are they supposed to do all this? When are they supposed to hire them in between raping their daughters and doing obscene things in the swimming pool? Or screaming Sharia law? How about raping their wives when they're walking down the street? Should they hire them between raping their wives and walking down the street? When are they supposed to hire them? I mean, this is ridiculous, Austin. This is happening, and that they're being forced to accept it. By the way, the Secret Service so hates Hillary Clinton because they don't want to be on her detail because remember she's still under Secret Service protection because she's a former First Lady. And I told you last week when we were in Dallas years ago, the Secret Service folks that we talked to had been asked to leave the White House. Because of Hillary and Bill Clinton, they wanted to go with George Bush and with Barbara because they didn't want to be around the wicked witch of Benghazi. So this was nutty about this. The Secret Service now is releasing and leaking Hillary's health to the press. This is from Kit Daniels. Hillary Clinton apparently suffers from Parkinson's or some similar disease and experiences seizures from flashing lights, such as camera flashes at press conferences. Good luck debating Trump, all I got to say. The Secret Service told InfoWars. Additionally, the federal government has reportedly spent nearly $250,000 just to add handicap steps to the government vehicles because she can't walk very well and struggles with balance, a fact that we've already shown last week by Reuters. These revelations explain a lot, her epileptic behavior on camera and why she avoids press conferences in general. Her health is massively deteriorating, and over the last several months, she suffered multiple seizures and near comatose freeze-ups during speeches, which combined with her previous blood clot concussions and severe coughing fits, reveals she's hiding serious medical issues that jeopardize her ability to hold public office. Now, on the other hand, Trump does a speech in Orlando and Kissimmee this past weekend. By the way, I was invited to that, but we had to fly to Montana, and so I would have gone to that. I actually had tickets for that. I would have loved to have gone, though. If I had known about it, I'd have scheduled a trip to Montana a little bit later. What's interesting about this is Trump held one of the largest rallies yet in Kissimmee. Over 8,000 people came. Many, many thousands more were turned away. Hillary did a similar rally, and she got 20 people. Trump sold out in the Silver Spurs Arena, and there was overflow. And everyone there was excited to actually see him and to hear the future president of the United States. And when he walked outside, police from all around Kissimmee who were supported Donald Trump herded he was there and gave him a complete total police escort back to his private jet. You know, guys, people are waking up, and it's pretty doggone exciting. It really is awesome. What's your next word, buddy?
This is interesting. Now, Oregon State University is developing an online course centered on social justice that all new students will be required to take. This just kind of goes and falls into the play of what we were talking about earlier with all the yuppies and the trendies and all the people that are afraid to get their feelings hurt by anybody that disagrees with them. The course will debut as a program during the fall term, which starts in late September. And what it is a new program's intended, this is what I quote, is intended to provide all students entering Oregon State University an orientation to concepts of diversity, inclusion, and social justice, and help empower all OSU students to contribute to an inclusion university community. Social justice now is a largely and progressive phase mainly used to tout left-leaning agendas such as environmentalism, socialism, feminism, and gay rights. The proposed classes will consist of 5 online modules that include a primer on social justice efforts in Oregon and in OSU, and instruction on how campus diversity advocates to find an inclusive and equitable university community, basically meaning before they even let you get involved in any type of core elements in your degree, they want to completely brainwash you into thinking that this whole social justice, everybody needs to be together, everybody needs to make sure we don't offend anybody, we need to have our safe spaces, gay is okay, do whatever you feel like, complete and total nonsense. They want to make sure everybody's indoctrinated in this before they get any further in their doctoral degree. And so this is interesting to see that these colleges are starting to implement this now. This is not the first. There are multiple colleges that are starting to bring this in. And it's pretty much a joke. It's a giant, big, fat joke, at least to me, except the problem is a lot of these people in the universities, they really think it's serious. I don't know why this is starting to spread so much. I'm sure it's the globalist agenda, as Dad said before, creating this really soft metro environment that nobody wants to say anything, nobody wants to protest anything, nobody wants to do anything that's going to offend anybody, nobody wants to basically utilize their First Amendment rights. But this is egregious to me. This is happening now in college universities, where this is supposed to be the core basis of openness and being able to speak your mind, being able to learn, being able to do essentially anything you need to do in college and voice your opinion about any thoughts or any type of questions you have. But now, apparently, if you do that, you're labeled basically a racist or a gay hater or whatever else they want to call you, and then everybody needs to go run to their safe space and go suck their thumb because they're embarrassed to talk about anything. And that's what we have now in these colleges. So I just thought this is interesting now that Oregon State University is now falling into this absolute ridiculous trap of social justice warrior nonsense.
Well, you got to remember, guys, I mean, this is just the CIA again. Remember back in the 70s, they got exposed to congressional hearings. They had literally put on payroll thousands of university professors all over the United States, thousands, you know, and hundreds of newscasters, if not thousands, you know, to give the slanted side of the news. And they put these super liberal left-wing professors on payroll to get them to promote this agenda. This has been going on for 50 years now, and this is the final outcome of what we're going to get. We're going to get a super dumbed-down society, which is politically correct, that runs in the corner and sucks its thumb every time something goes wrong, like you said,
yep.
Austin. And the sad part about it is that we're not raising any more men. We're raising a bunch of candy boys is what we're raising. And the sad part about that is, if guys, listen to me, this is really, really important. You show your sons the right way of doing things. That you show them that you're a macho guy, that you know that you love the Lord, that you love your wife, you take care of the family, that you take them to church, but you also get them out shooting guns and doing the other things that need to be done. Because if you don't do that, this dogma, this social engineering that's taking place will start to affect you and your family in a negative way that you don't want it to do. That I can guarantee. So the same thing with the churches. Now, I go to church and there are all these boys going to church with their mamas and their sisters and the dads aren't there. And then you see the pastor's kind of limperest up in the pulpit and you're kind of like, well, what heck, where is this guy from? I mean, he kind of acts like he's a little bit, you know, sissified too. Well, that's not what we need to have in the pulpit. We need to have real men in the pulpit like Chuck Baldwin. People that really are macho, even like Rod Parsley, who's a big time game hunter. People that are Rod, or other types of pastors that you guys know about. But we've got to have macho guys who are willing to tell the truth, because nowadays it's not like that anymore. Nowadays our churches have gone to trendy too, and our churches are bringing in huge amounts of people in the multi-campus sites, and they're doing it because of political correctness. They're doing it because they're creating like a carnival type atmosphere on Sunday morning with all kinds of entertainments and smoke and mirrors and everything else that are going on to try to bring in the masses. But they never preach repentance. They never preach Christ crucified. They need to. They never preach about how you need to change your lifestyle if you're doing things that are bad. They don't preach that anymore because it doesn't fill the churches. It empties out the pews. So if you have a church leader who does that, who tells the truth, you need to support him. You know, and as far as these TV evangelists, guys, I know too many of these guys. You really need to support your local church and do what's right in your local church, because that's where your kids are supposed to be going. That's the place that's supposed to be feeding you and taking care of you. And if you have to have a preacher preach your funeral for you, that's where you're going to go. I promise you, you're not going to get one of these TV evangelists to do that. Here's another story. 6 million Americans in 33 states are drinking toxic Teflon chemicals with their water. Guys, Teflon is poison. There are multiple lawsuits. Nonstick cookware is toxic. Don't use any of it. Use stainless steel. Use glass. Use cast iron. Don't use anything else. Don't use stainless steel if it's been clad with aluminum. Nothing with aluminum on it at all. Use solid stainless steel or cast iron or glass to cook in, but don't use nonstick surfaces of Teflon. It's incredibly poisonous. The BFOAs that come off of the perfluorooctanoic acid are incredibly poisonous. And right now we've got 6 million Americans in 33 states drinking water that's been exposed to these chemicals, and basically are being poisoned by them. Millions of dollars in lawsuits are being filed already as we speak, and they're already losing these lawsuits with this Teflon. This stuff is toxic. If you've got it in your house, get rid of your nonstick cookware, period. Just get rid of it. It's not worth your health doing this to you and your family. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. We've talked about that before. Stainless steel's the best. It's a pain to clean sometimes. I do know there's a couple different ones that I've heard of now. I don't know the names of them, that are basically the ceramic-based with no coating on them at all, and those are usually pretty good as well. They don't have any of the Teflon or the anti-stick coating, but the ceramics, a lot of times, of what I've heard, have a little bit better. They do a little bit better than stainless as far as with, like, eggs and stuff like that that stick real bad.
Well, they also have the ceramic pots. They're the cast iron ceramic pots, and they're really good. We use those for pots. They're very heavy, so be careful if you're trying to lean over an oven with a chicken in that cast iron pot that's coated with ceramics, because the pot weighs almost 20 pounds. They hurt your back, so you got to be careful with it. Some of those ovens they use, those Dutch ovens, I think they call them, are pretty good too. So make sure they don't have any lining. Guys, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting our emails. Thank you for listening to our show. Coming to you live out of Montana. What a neat country this is. I mean, we had the whole place was covered up on Friday, Saturday with chemtrails. I mean, it was some of the worst chemtrails I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, they were as bad as they've ever been in Central Florida. I didn't expect to see this in Montana. But today, before the show started, I was outside. It was pretty clear blue skies, kind of a haze from the chemtrails from yesterday, but a lot better than it was for the last 2 days. So if you think you're going to be avoiding chemtrails in Montana, I haven't found any place yet, buddy, that's avoiding chemtrails. But thank you for signing up for our newsletters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. And again, we just appreciate you listening. We love you guys. Austin, I'm going to go ahead and let you close. You got about a minute to close it down. And I'll be back with you guys again tomorrow. God bless.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. Thank you for everything. Hope you guys had a good, safe weekend. The product of the week still on here. Let me pull it up real quick. I think it's still the resveratrol for over 10% off. And then we still also have the TED CD set all together. TED CD set. That's the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program with the book and the reports that goes out for free on all orders over $200 when you put that into the coupon code. So if you guys want to take advantage of that, that'll be good till the next weekend. We appreciate everything, guys. You need to email us, give us a call, shoot us any questions you got. We'd be happy to help you out. You guys have a great, safe night, and we'll be on with you again tomorrow.